Barb Olenek Morrow, Rachel Roberts, welcome.
Delighted to be here. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Now, Auburn Presbyterian Church is celebrating its 175th anniversary year. What a milestone. Tell us very, very briefly the lay of the land when it was formed back in 1844.
The first congregation of Auburn Presbyterian met in the old DeKalb County Courthouse. Soon afterwards, they established the first church near downtown, and then in 1876, they built the building in which we worship today.
Between then and now, what would you say the part this pillar of your community plays there?
Well, I think that it's a gathering place for the community, not only spiritually, but physically, because people gather there for the important events of their lives, weddings, baptisms, funerals. And of course, in the Christian faith, the church is the foundation of Jesus Christ, the Savior. And it's kind of hard to explain that to some people. And so the church in our denomination basically turns to art to support or to interpret a lot of that.
It's a really important point. And what are some of the architectural features, and I know there are plenty, that add to this church's significance?
Well, we have four beautiful apostle windows that came to us about 50 years ago, and they're gorgeous. We also have a rose memorial window in the chancel area at the front, so we have light reflecting both ways. We have high vaulted ceilings, beautiful interior woodwork and carvings, and then throughout the building, playing on the idea of artwork, in our fellowship hall, we have framed artwork by members of the congregation over the years, so people can admire the artwork. And I must say also, we have a quilt that was made in the 1800s that women in Presbytery, if you gave like a dime, they would help stitch, or you could stitch your family's history on it. And so this quilt has been put together, and it now is framed within the church.
Oh, and it's
a wonderful artifact.
And speaking of the architecture, there used to be a huge bell tower, but it's been changed, and now I think it's more in keeping with the facade of the church. It's a beautiful building from the outside. It's limestone. And it has an entryway with a portico. It's attractive. It's really a pretty church.
This church is very beautiful. And again, we're not trying to preen or be that way. It does have a natural and historic beauty, and I think that's great. A lot of attention paid to what was added and how and when and why. Do you feel that when you're in the church? You're having wonderful services and wonderful activities there, but does the vibe of the church make you feel good about that too?
Well, I think it's inspiring, especially when there's music and when there's a quietness sometimes. Sometimes we need quietness in this turbulent world in which we live.
Yeah.
Going back to the beauty of the church, the biblical garden, which is next to our church, is an attraction that people enjoy. In fact, some weddings have taken place there. There's a cross and stations of the cross made by some of the artists in our church. And so the entire block is an attractive center, you might say, for the community.
And spiritual and inspirational as well.
As well, yes.
That's wonderful.
Right. And right across the street is our beloved library, which is another community treasure. So we make kind of a nice package.
I would say so, campus, if you will.
Yeah, that's right. In terms of, you know, the literary arts and then you can say the spiritual arts across
right,
the street.
It all comes together.
Yes.
Speaking of all of the arts, you do have a lot of celebration happening in this special year. Plenty of it is musical, but also, Rachel, you are a playwright, and one of your plays was featured earlier this year. What was that all about?
Well, that's an interesting story, because Barb Morrow and her co-chairman of this entire anniversary year approached me in January and said, "Do you think you could write a play regarding this 175 years of history?" And I thought, how in the world can anyone do that? Because, first of all, you have facts that you deal with, and a play has to have conflict and a resolution and all of that. And I didn't want any conflict in the church. So I decided that I would do a skit. And then I started thinking about how I could bring in the facts in an interesting way. And with a nod to Schultz and his Peanuts cartoon, I decided to use the little psychiatrist idea. And I got a young girl to be the psychiatrist. She was going to be Lucy. And then, because I know how certain people in the congregation sound, I put words in that be natural. For instance, why did they tear down the manse or whatever? So I would have them ask the psychiatrist these questions, and she'd say, well, I can answer your questions for a dime. And so they'd have to pay their dime, and she would answer the questions. And I didn't want her to do all the work, so she had an assistant. And of course, he's kind of theatrical, Jim Nixon, a former elementary school principal. And I had him become the motley fool, and he would make his funny comments. And so it was kind of a humorous type thing. And yet I wanted it to be serious. And so I brought in some things relative to thoughts such as the golden rule and the morals and values that the church tried to express. Well, I didn't know that the people would be as excited about it as they turned out to be, but they were, and they were enjoying it. And the more they enjoyed it, the more I had to tweak the lines. And I think I had 7 or 8 drafts before it was finally over. Everybody had a busy schedule. So they were either in band practice or cheerleading practice, or they had weddings or whatever. And so I had rehearsals, but there was not a single rehearsal that all 15 cast members were there. But it came off in September, thanks to the church and the people that helped us set it up. It was a success. It was called Pews, Pies, and Pastors.
That's very, very good. I'm sure Charles Schultz would have approved, too. So this 175th anniversary being chock full of special celebration, including plays, including all kinds of music, what is left to be shared in this last couple of months we have of the year?
Well, in November, we have an opera singer, a mezzo-soprano coming. We'll give a recital on a Sunday afternoon. Also, then in early December, we have a jazz trio coming, New York City-based, and they'll perform at the church on a Saturday evening.
How has all this been received?
Well, I personally have gotten a lot of good feedback from people. We've used an opportunity on various Sundays to have someone also get up and share a little bit of church history from decades ago. And so people are fascinated about what life was like in our church in the 1870s, post-Civil War era, or, you know, around the time of World War I. So they've loved that part of the history. And then the specialty events have been very well attended, from picnic in the summer in our biblical garden to the musical events. It's a way of bringing people of all ages in the congregation together. So it's been a bonding.
Denominations and congregations everywhere are challenged to stay relevant and grow their numbers in the 21st century. How would you say yours is faring?
That's a deep question, and an interesting question, and a challenging question, because all churches are trying to consider that and trying to figure out what's our role. But you know, in this world, and I suppose always, people have a yearning for design, for order, and for beauty, as well as the spiritual answers to their questions. And so as we move into the next 25 years or 175 years, I think there'll always be a need for the church to be there to offer encouragement, support, and the help that people need just because they're human.
Great point. And it sounds like your church has a wonderful and solid and working formula by which they do keep active and in the hearts and minds of the congregation.
We do. We like to think we are reaching out into the community, not just in these celebratory type of areas. Every Monday, we have a friends table that we serve free lunch to people. It's been established for many years, so people know they can come to our church for that. GED classes meet at our church. We have a long tradition going back to the 1930s of Boy Scout and Girl Scout troops meet in our church. So it's a busy, active place. But I might add to what Rachel was saying that this 175th, whenever one reaches a milestone or a benchmark, you know, you can kind of be going through life and blowing by things. You reach a milestone or benchmark and you do take a moment to reflect and you think, this is where we've been. And so now we do need to think, where do we want to go? And certainly within the congregation throughout the year, we've been prayerfully asking ourselves, we want to be around and we want to be relevant 175 years from now. What is the best way to do that? We're exploring it. We don't have the full answer, but certainly we think outreach within the community, especially within the neighborhood all around the church, We want our church to be open and people to see it as a welcoming and vibrant place.
For everyone, all the time.
All the time.
That's fantastic. Okay, you are both active members of your church. There's no doubt about that. And you are guardians of the spirit there. So, last question. Auburn Presbyterian has obviously impacted the whole community, and it hopefully will continue to do so. From your hearts, what has it brought to you?
Well, to me, it has been family. My husband and I are blessed with 4 children. They were baptized there. We did not have grandparents in the community, so the church was there to help raise my children. I look out in the congregation, and those were all the aunts and uncles, the cousins for my family. And that meant the world to me.
My children were brought up in that church, and they were married there. So the weddings and the special occasions are important, and they're wonderful memories. The church keeps me grounded artistically and familially. I would like to quote, if I may, Makoto Fujimura, who was a Japanese artist who said that the arts are a cup that will carry the water of life to the thirsty. And I think that's apropos. That's what the church does for us.
Auburn residents Barb Olenek Morrow and Rachel Roberts are members of Auburn Presbyterian Church. Barb, Rachel, thank you so much for sharing your wonderful story with us today. Carry it on.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
That was an arts and culture interview by WBOI's Julia Meek. You can find more of Julia's arts-driven reporting at WBOI.org and on the WBOI Facebook page.